Today on The Journey.
God is keeping your inheritance in heaven for you. He is holding it there. And that inheritance can never perish, can never spoil, can never fade. God has it in the fortresses of heaven, and God himself is standing guard over it.
More certain than an eastern sunrise, surer than the foundations of earth, that is the hope to which we are anchored in Christ. Today, Ron Moore details that security and its evidence. Also, be sure to note our free gift of Ron's inspiring devotional, Living Hope. Its 95 daily meditations will remind, instruct, and refresh your spirit in the essentials of the Christian walk. Living Hope is available as a digital download for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you more about it later in the broadcast. Now here's Ron with the message, Imperishable, on The Journey.
Take your Bibles and let's turn to 1 Peter as we continue our study through this book. Peter is writing from Rome, and he's writing during the time of great persecution. He is writing in 64 AD, around there, and a great persecution has broken out under the Emperor Nero. You remember that Rome burned, and Nero was blamed for it, so he blamed the Christians, and a tremendous persecution broke out. At this time, the Christians were gathered together, a large population in Rome, and some of them were tied up in the skins of animals, and wild dogs were put on them. Some of them were crucified, and some of them were dipped in pitch or tar and lit, the historian Tacitus says, to light the evening sky. Peter was there. He'll die 2 years later. But he's there now in Rome. He's seeing all this, probably in hiding. So he writes a letter to believers about 1,200 miles away in present-day northern Turkey, five provinces of Rome at that time. And he's writing them to tell them, get ready, persecution is coming. Persecution normally started in the larger cities and then made its way across the countryside. And so Peter writes to these believers scattered in these five provinces, and he's telling them, you've got to get ready. You've got to stand firm. He begins by telling them that they have been chosen by God. They are not believers by mistake. They've been set apart by the Spirit, and they have been chosen and set apart for obedience to Christ. And it's going to get harder, Peter is going to tell them. It's going to get harder to obey Christ. It's going to be harder to stand for him because persecution's on the way. Right after the introduction, he begins a hymn of praise in verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. That phrase, living hope, is what we've titled this series. Peter uses the word living to describe that which is vibrant, that which is sure, that which is certain, that which is eternal, as opposed to the hope the world would give, which is deceptive and empty and temporal. Peter says, you've been called to a living hope. Your hope, the certainty that you have, that you will close your eyes in death and see Jesus, the hope that you have, he will give you the strength you need throughout whatever ordeal he brings your way, is a living hope, and it has been brought about, Peter says, by the new birth. Look at those two words in verse 3. It's one word in Greek, and it means caused to be born again. Peter may well be thinking back to that time when a man came to Jesus by night, under the cover of night. He was a Pharisee. He was a member of the Jewish ruling council. Remember his name? Nicodemus. And Nicodemus came, and in the conversation, Jesus said, Nicodemus, in order to enter the kingdom of God, you have to be born again. And Nicodemus was thinking of the earthly hope. He was thinking of the temporal hope. And he said, how in the world could a man be born again? How could a man enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born again? And Jesus said, Nicodemus, that's where you're missing it. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. And it's the Spirit that causes a person to be born again. You see, Nicodemus, it's your heart issue. And you can, by trusting in me, Jesus would say, your heart can be changed from the inside out, born afresh, born anew. So let's just stop there a second. If you want to live life with a living hope, if you want to have a hope that is vibrant and sure and certain, it all begins with a new birth. Has that taken place in your life? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ alone as the only way you can have a relationship with the living God? Have you come to the point in your life where you say, I can't save myself. My background can't save myself. My Christian heritage can't save myself. Growing up in a Christian home does not make me a Christian. But I'm going to trust in Jesus Christ alone. I'm accepting him as my Savior, trusting in him as my Lord, however you want to say it. But when you do that, from the inside out, new birth comes. And then you can have a living hope. Now, these believers who were reading Peter's letter, they were those who had a living hope, but they were those who were going to go through some difficult times. You see, it's one thing to say you're a Christian. It's easy in our culture, isn't it? And go to church and sing some songs and go back to your warm home and not really worry about that. But these people, they had to know their hope was alive. Because see, these people, they're going to be asked a question, are you a Christian? And if they said yes, that was it. There was a lot of discussion between the emperor and the rulers of that day. How do we put these people to death? We're going to get rid of the Christians, but when are we going to put them to death? What evidence do we have they're a Christian? There was this letters going back and forth. You can read in church history where these emperors were asking, what do we need to see in their lives to put them to death? They made a decision. We don't want to get into the details. If they answer yes to the question, are you a Christian? That's it. Tie the skins around them. Put them on a cross. That type of encounter is not for cultural Christians. That type of encounter is not for good church men and church women. That type of encounter is not those who say they're a Christian because they attend the Christmas Eve service and mix in an Easter service. When you know that answering yes to are you a Christian will cost your life, you have to have a living hope. You got to know for certain that when you say yes, they're going to tie you in animal skins and set wild dogs on you, that your hope is for real. So Peter was writing this letter to tell his recipients, man, here's one thing you got to nail down. You got to know for certain. And when they ask you that question, because of the living hope that is within you, you can say from your heart, yes, I am a Christian and I will take whatever you bring. So as Peter writes to them, he is trying to encourage them about this living hope. And he tells them three things about the hope that is within us. First, he says, our living hope as a believer is secured by our future inheritance. Look at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. First of all, Peter says, your hope is secured by your future inheritance. Your hope is secured by the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus went through suffering as well. They put him on a cross too, but he rose from the dead. And because Christ rose from the dead, you can follow him not only through suffering, but through resurrection of life as well. Now that gives hope, doesn't it? He tells them that God is keeping your inheritance in heaven for you. He is waiting on you. Whatever you're going to go through, God is holding it there. And that inheritance kept by God can never perish. It can never spoil. It can never fade. He tells them that this inheritance is shielded by the power of God. That word shielded is a great word. It's a military term. It means to have a fortress and to have soldiers standing guard around it. And so Peter's picture that he wants the believers to know about this living hope is God has it in the fortresses of heaven and God himself is standing guard over it. And whatever happens to you, he's going to deliver it to you. He's going to hand it to you. Your hope is secure because it is kept in heaven for you. You need to know that this earth is not your final home. and that your eternity is set. It is established because of who God is, not because of who we are, but because of who God is. Now, to this point, Peter has given them knowledge, theological knowledge, and that's where it starts. But Peter's going to say it's more than just knowledge, because the persecution is coming your way and you're going to have to make some decisions. So the second thing Peter says is our living hope is proven by experience. You can talk a good talk, but one day someone's going to say, are you a Christian? You say yes, you're going to die. Talking's over at that point. Your living hope is proven by experience. Look at verse 6. Peter says, in this, the in this refers to the knowledge he has just given them about their eternal inheritance. In this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer all kinds of trials. Not just persecution, but even before the persecution gets intense, there are other trials that come. Verse 7. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proven genuine and may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Peter says that as great as gold is, even when it is refined by fire, even when it is in its purest form, it's still going to perish, but your living hope won't. That same refining fire that refines gold and purifies gold are the trials that come to you, and those trials refine you and make you pure and make you strong. Now, Peter says gold's going to perish. Even the best gold will be lost or destroyed, or you're going to leave it behind. But this eternal inheritance, proven by experience, you're going to take it with you. In fact, when you get to heaven, God's going to hand it to you and say, this is it. That's good news for all of us. And the first readers of this book needed to hear that. See, at the end of the day, whether you invest in gold or not, and then certainly it's a good investment right now, at the end of the day, you're going to leave it behind. Gold has no value in the economy of heaven. What has value is that eternal inheritance bought for you by Jesus Christ himself. And Peter says that we need to follow Christ and we need to walk after him. He's telling his first readers, you got to follow him. Even when it gets really tough, he says in verse 8, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That is our goal, or should be. Our goal in life is not to retire early. Our goal in life is not to build a bank account. The goal that every believer should have is this: the salvation of our souls. And that is proven by experience. One more thing. Look at verse 10. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told to you by those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, even angels long to look into these things. Even angels long to look in this thing of grace and forgiveness. Peter is reminding his recipients here that our living hope is confirmed by the written word of God. It is secured by our eternal inheritance. It is proven by experience. It is confirmed as we read and study the written word of God. He says here, the prophets longed for the salvation that the coming Messiah would bring. They searched intently and with greatest care to discover the appointed times. They pondered in their mind how in the world this Messiah would come and suffer. How would God allow his anointed one to suffer? But then they wrote of the glories that would come after that. they could write of those things because Peter tells us the Spirit of Christ was in them, pointing them to these things. 700 years before Christ came, the Spirit of God was directing them. And so Peter is saying, man, you can have confidence in the Word of God. It's the Spirit of God who directed these individuals to write everything down. By the way, this is a tremendous passage here, what we call the doctrine of illumination or the doctrine of inspiration. The Spirit of God writing through these individuals. The human aspect, they were pondering these things. They were looking into these things. They were checking out these things. They were trying to figure them all out. But then the spiritual part, the Spirit of God within them was moving them along. Peter says it this way in 2 Peter, just flip over, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. He expounds on what he's saying about the Spirit of God. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So Peter wants them to nail this down. It's the Word of God that takes your life and transforms it. It's through the Word of God you learn of the new birth. It's through the Word of God that He tells us this good news of Jesus. It's through the Word of God that we see the words of Christ and we can live in obedience to Him. Peter is saying this living hope is secured, is confirmed by the Word of God. Look at 1 Peter 1, verse 23. It's a couple of verses over. Peter says, for you have been born again. There's that same word. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring Word of God. God's Word is not perishable. It is imperishable. And He has planted the seeds in your heart through His Word. And that's how you are born again, through the living and enduring Word of God. For men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the Word of the Lord stands forever. If you're not in the Word of God, you are not confirming the living hope. You cannot live with the living hope that God wants you to live with. You cannot walk out of these doors today and demonstrate to a world living with worldly hope, deceptive and empty and temporal, that you follow Christ and you're going to obey Him and you're going to live for Him and you're going to do what He says without confirming that every day in your life with the Word of God. You just can't do it. That's why I am passionate about communicating the Word of God. That's why this church for over 40 years now has had as its theme verse, John 17:17, sanctify them in your word. Your word is truth. We have nothing to say from this area up here if it does not come from the Word of God. And God is giving us an opportunity to take His word and expand our teaching of it on a daily basis, even across the country. I have an opportunity I want to share with you. 3 years ago, the elders sat in an office, and we knew that we had a vision and God was placing some things on our heart. We came up with what we called the Acts 2 initiatives. They were based on Acts 1. You're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the utter ends of the earth. And we called them Acts 2 because that's when the church took those initiatives and started running with them. And so we said, that's what we want to be. And we talked about what it takes to do some things inside to develop people and get people assimilated and get them involved in ministry and find out what their gifts are. And we talked about community involvement. And we wrote National Resource. And I got to tell you, when National Resource was written on a flip chart, we all looked and said, oh, sounds a little presumptuous. But as we discussed that long and hard, we believed in our heart that God was calling us to make an impact on our country, that God was calling us to make an impact somehow, we didn't even know what it was, on our nation. And one thing we talked about was the expansion of the Journey Radio program. We have before us this God-sized, and it is a God-sized opportunity. So some of you who have not been involved in Beyond These Walls, jump on board. This bus is moving. And you have an opportunity to do some kingdom things. You can't take it with you, but you can invest it and see the benefits of it later on. and we need you. If we're going to carry out this vision, this is not something new that we just heard of. We've been thinking about this and praying about it for a long time. And we would love for you to participate in this. We think that's pretty exciting. In the process of this, someone asked me, what do you think is the greatest issue facing our country? How would you answer that question? I thought about it a while, and here's what I don't think the greatest issue is. I don't think the greatest issue is things going on in the government that you hear about on talk shows. I don't think the greatest issue is the redefinition of marriage and family. Those are symptoms of a bigger problem. The greatest issue facing our country is the anemic church and watered down teaching. And when we deal with that, and when the teaching is strong, and when it's right from God's word, which is imperishable, then lives change from the inside out. And when lives change, families change. And when families change, the structure of our country changes.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. What difference does it make that you're on a journey with Jesus? How does your faith in Christ affect your joy, freedom, and endurance? And what about your relationship with others, believers and unbelievers alike? Well, the Apostle Peter addressed those questions in his letters to first century Christians. Ron Moore explores Peter's instructions in the devotional titled Living Hope. Its 95 challenging meditations will lead you to victory on your pilgrimage with Christ. So discover the meaning of this spiritual journey for yourself with Ron Moore's PDF devotional, Living Hope. It's yours for a donation of any amount when you visit us on the web at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a preview of our next broadcast.
Take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Peter. Peter is writing this book in late 64, early 65 AD, and he's writing it to five Roman provinces that are now northern Turkey. Peter's writing from Rome. Persecution is raging there under the Emperor Nero. Normally, persecution started in the larger cities and then spread out through the country. And so he's telling them, get ready. Persecution may well be on the way. After his introduction to his readers, where he reminds them that God has chosen them, that the Holy Spirit has sanctified them, has set them apart for obedience to Christ, Peter breaks out into a hymn of praise in verse 3, where he says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That living hope concept that Peter has throughout his book means that our certain hope in Jesus Christ is living, it is active, it is fresh, it is vibrant, it is eternal compared to the hope that the world would give that is deceptive, that's temporal, and that's empty. And Peter has said in verses 3 through 12 that believers, you have been chosen by God, you've been sanctified. Your future inheritance has been secured. It can't perish, spoil, or fade. Your hope has been proven by your experience. That's what trials do. They prove our faith genuine. And your living hope is confirmed by the written word of God. And then in verse 13, he begins, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Peter is saying, because of the living hope you have, there's some action for you to do. It is time to move. It is time to prepare yourself. I'm too busy, doesn't cut it anymore. I'm in the middle of my career, so I can't mix in a lot of spiritual things. That's not good enough anymore. The time of excuses is over. Peter says, you've got to get busy. You've got to do something. And Peter pops off in these verses five quick action imperatives. Let's think about these. And then he gives two reasons why these imperatives have to get done.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please remember to order your copy of Ron's PDF booklet, Living Hope. It's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. That's ronmoore.org. Also, we invite Pittsburgh area listeners to visit our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our area campuses and their ministries. They're located in Robinson, Ross Draver, South Hills, Washington, and Wilkinsburg. Again, that address is biblechapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on the journey.